It's good to see everyone here. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm going to enjoy the day when we leave. I'm sure you will too. But this morning, I thought hard about what I could bring to you. And this week was, it was a rough week for me, to say the least. But I learned a lot through the week. And something that kept coming up to me over and over is don't ever give up. As we're on this positive journey, you know, it's not always easy. We've been conditioned to live a total different way with our thoughts and different things. But, you know, as we're on this positive journey, you're going to have your bad days to get to where you want to be. And I kept saying, just don't ever give up. And always praise Him and be thankful in those times. And that's hard to do. But I have a verse I just want to start the service off with. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. And be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So no matter what circumstance you're in today, let's praise the Lord and let's be thankful for everything that we have and be thankful for this church, this body of Christ, whatever it may be, everything. And let's worship Him this morning. Let's stand and worship.
Yeah.
God, we just give you praise this morning as we cry out hallelujah to you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We're so thankful for everything that you do in all seasons and all circumstances.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
We know that you have control, and we give it to you and we praise you this morning.
To the cross, there from the cross.
Lord. I thank you, Father, Lord, that your grace is there, Lord, in the easiest of times and the hardest of times. One of the things I've been learning in this season is to be aware that his grace is always there and his presence is always there. And I guess it was probably a week ago, I had a real, just kind of a breakdown. Jed had a breakdown, leading me to possibly have a breakdown, but I didn't. And Mom kind of stood back and watched me just stay so calm and just talk to him, you know, just like I'm talking to you right now, and to walk him through that moment. And I don't know how I walked him through that the way I walked him through that. And she kind of, I think she was more worried about me than Jed in that moment. And but you know what? I've just, through what we've been learning and experiencing, and I know we talk about positive, 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 and you're probably tired of it, but through really it getting from here to inside here, I'm able to really just realize that I am peace, and that I am grace, and that I am those things, and to step into it, and I just was able to comfort him and to minister to him. And you know, and the next time the same kind of situation came up, it wasn't bad at all. It's because I was able to walk in those things that are, it's already within me. And you get to do that too. You get to walk in his grace and his presence and experience that in the hardest of moments and in the greatest of victories. And this next song, it says, "Show me your glory." And you know what? You can see his glory and you can experience his presence in the hardest of times and in the best of times, because it's always there. His presence never changes. Our lives can change daily. Our moments can change from moment to moment, but he stays the same. And that same power that's within you stays the same in moment by moment, from moment to moment. Amen? Let's worship.
I see the cloud, and I step in. I want to see your glory like Moses did. Flashes of light. To walk in your
Trust in you, Lord, because you never change, because you are always constant. We love you, Jesus.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. Sing it out. This mountain that's in front of me, you know what that mountain is? Will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Him now, it is well. are on you, and it is well with me.
Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, for this body. We thank you for your presence, Lord. And we just enter into it with thanksgiving. And we just bless your name, Father. And everyone says, amen.
Okay. This is getting aggravating. This is great. In 38 years of ministry, I don't think I've ever dedicated twins. So this is very, very special. And the greatest thing you can do is give your kids to the Lord. And because he does something really neat, he gives them right back to you. And he says, I want you to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God must have thought you're really special parents, because when you conceived, he took two spirits and put into your body. And before they were conceived, God knew them. His thoughts to them are always good. The Bible says if we should number the thoughts, they're more than the sands of the sea. And every thought that God has toward us is good thoughts. And so we first dedicate the young lady. This is Gabriella Alexis. Oh, and Gabriella, your name, Gabriella, means God is my strength and God's bravest woman. But Alexis, I like this name because it means defender of the people, protector of humanity. And when I read that, in my office, I said, I'm going to do a series one day on defender of the people, protector of humanity. So I dedicate you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we lift you up as one of God's bravest women and defender of the people and protector of humanity. God bless you all the days of your life. All right, Gabriel, you know what that has to mean, God's bravest man. And Ronald means wise ruler. And so not only are you one of God's bravest men, but you're one of his wisest rulers. And we dedicate you unto the Lord today. We lift you up to him. And we just thank God for you, and that you will grow up to be exactly what your name means. And we bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Awesome. As a first. Oh, I'm sorry. Back.
I'm standing right here. He forgot me anyway. We want to present this first book of prayers to you guys, and y'all can read it at night. You grow up big and strong in Jesus.
Amen. When you get a little older, you'll see her in children's church.
Yes. And
talk
to you in the nursery.
All right. Let me sit down and get in.
Something new as far as having the children's leaders come up, because our commitment as a church is to help in the raising of children. And so I think that's kind of cool. Also, in the foyer, I want to give you some information. There are some baby bottles out there. Last week, we gave over half of them away to you, and we want the other half to be gone this week. This is a fundraiser for the Caring House, which is a crisis pregnancy center here in Griffin. been in business for and helping ladies for many, many years. And so it's our contribution. So you take that, fill it full of pennies and quarters, and they don't mind checks either if you'd like your tax donation. And so you can put checks in there and just have those back by Easter if you would. So great things. Many of you may not know this, but there is some construction and some painting going on in our children's wing. I like using that term. It sounds like it's huge and big, and it is. We have taken and we've knocked some walls out and redoing the upstairs of our children's department. So there have been volunteers that have been there in there already. This Saturday is going to be a paint party. So if you enjoy painting or don't enjoy painting but want to come and be a part of the party, we do ask that if you don't know how to paint, that you just bring donuts. If you know how to paint, then we want you here to help with that aspect of it. Now, this is a precursor to our work day that is on the 28th of the month. And on the 28th of the month, once those rooms are painted and different things, they've got some decor and things that are taking place. We have some inside cleaning that needs to take place, and we have some outside things that need to take place. So there are three sign-up sheets out there for the work day on the 28th. So plan on that. If you're busy on the 28th, then you can be here on the 21st. And if you're busy on the 21st, just call us. We'll let you know what day we can get you busy doing something. So Easter this year is April 5th, and which is always a huge day in Christendom and in churches. And so we are doing something just a little bit different. We are going to have a youth service separate from this service. They are going to be meeting in the youth building. And so the youth group will be meeting there. That will also be the first service for our new children's wing that will be opening up. And so that will be going on, which will open up more seats in here. So we want you inviting people and your friends and relatives that are unchurched. We always have our CEOs that are so important to us. That's Christmas and Easter only, if you didn't know what CEOs was. But so anyway, we want to plan on that. As our ushers are coming, we're going to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Your giving makes a difference, not only in this church, in people's lives, but in our community. The alms money that we receive goes to the soup kitchen. It goes to the food pantry. It goes to the Spalding Samaritans, which is emergency relief. Those alms go to feeding the poor on Rushton Hope Days, that we provide food and volunteers. And so many of you have signed up to work at Rushton Hope. We encourage you, if you've not ever tried that, try that on a Saturday. The more folks that we get doing that, the less strain it is on any one person. So thank you. Let's pray, and we're going to bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness, Father, Lord, of each and every person that is here to attend the house of God, to bring their first fruits, their tithes, their offerings, and their alms. Lord, I ask, Father, Lord, that you bless them, allow them to be fruitful and to multiply. Allow your kingdom, Father, Lord, to grow, Lord, inside of us and inside of this community, inside of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Chet gets a bad rap a lot of times. And being a grandparent, I like it, because the other day when I had him, he started to get a cookie. And he got a cookie out, and I said, I want you to get two. You know you're coming back. And you could just tell how appreciative he was of that. That just go ahead and get two. But I'm a little nervous this morning. I don't know why, but I am. And maybe just need to trust in the Lord. But this is kind of a different message for me. It's a little different and unique. We're going to be talking about, for the next couple of months, about thinking positive. We're in the School of Positive Thinking on Wednesday night. And we said last week, what we focus on and imagine will manifest. And I don't know if you ever, I'm sure, how many drink coffee from time to time? Practically everybody. Then you ever poured your coffee and you're walking down the hall with it, or even down some steps with it, and you focused on not spilling it. What did you do? But if you don't focus on not spilling, if you just walk with it, you don't spill it. But when you start focusing on not doing it, it's what you do. Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. And when you focus on what you're not going to do, you end up doing. And that's what Paul said happened to him, that what he didn't want to do, he did, and what he didn't want to do, and he just couldn't get it together. And what we have in Scripture, I want to say a couple of things to just set this up. The Bible is a tremendous book. And from Genesis to Revelation, you have, I believe, a progressive revelation of who God is. And I believe in the Old Testament, there are glimpses of the real God. And I think sometimes it gets fuzzy. I think sometimes it gets confusing. And I think one of the reasons of it is after all these years of studying Scripture, is that I found out that God was working through mankind. And God was working through vessels that were human. And there weren't perfect people. There were people who were coming to a revelation and an understanding more and more of who God is. And when I read the Old Testament, I read a lot of the things that Moses said. I find that Moses was in a process of really coming to a revelation of who God is. Moses at times would seemingly really have the heart of God, and then at times it would appear that maybe he didn't. Like God spoke to Moses one time and he in the beginning of his history with Israel, and he told they were thirsty, and he told Moses, speak to the rock. Strike the rock and water will come forth. And Moses takes his rod and he strikes the rock and water came forth. And later on, Moses had been dealing with these people, the ups and downs and ups and downs, and they get thirsty again. And God says to Moses, Moses, this time I want you to speak to the rock. Well, Moses was a little upset with the people. And he's tired of their moaning and groaning. And so Moses does what he did before. Sometimes what we do one time is not what we do the next time. And so Moses walks up to this rock. He takes his rod and he says, must I fetch water for you? And he strikes the rock. Now God gave water nonetheless. But God said to Moses, because you did not sanctify me in the presence of these people, you're not going to enter into the promised land. Because the promised land is not going to be inherited by judgment, but the promised land will be inherited by mercy. The promised land will be inherited because it's a land of fruitfulness. It's a land where God wants the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be in our life. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, kindness and meekness and faith. And so Moses is in this process of time, really coming to more and more understanding of who God is. The other week I spoke on, talked about the woman caught in the act of adultery. And when she's caught in the act of adultery, you know, they bring her to Christ and they said, the law says that we're to stone her to death. And I shared with you what the Bible says. And I said, you know, and here was Christ standing before this woman and he knew that the law says stone her to death, but yet he did not do that. And I was on my way home that Sunday afternoon, and that scripture came to me. And I'm going to say this with a little fear and trepidation, but nonetheless say it because I really believe I heard God's voice. And God said to me, I thought, I didn't say that. Moses said that. Moses said stone them to death. I didn't say that. I said, "Whoa, that's heavy." Jesus looked at it one time. He says, what reasons can we get a divorce?" And Jesus said, "No reason except for the cause of fornication." He says, Moses gave you the writing of divorcement. From the beginning, it was not so. And so is this continual revelation. Who is this God? Who is this God? And he's dealing with people and he's working through humankind. Now, is adultery wrong? Yeah, but he said from the beginning, divorce shouldn't even be in the program. It was because of the hardness of your heart that that came to be. You see, what I want from the beginning and throughout your life is not a hardening of your heart, but a softening of your heart, so that my laws cannot be written on tablets of stone, but written on the tablets of your heart. And so that you do what you do, not because it's written here or it's written there or it's dictated here or it's dictated there, because it's coming out of your heart. And you're doing it not because you're made to do it or you're threatened to do it, but you do it because you know it's the best thing for you and you want to do it. You love to do it. I'd hate to know my wife loved me because she had to. Now, I've had to remind her every now and then, you do have to, but I like it when it just flows freely from the heart of hearts and from the deepest recesses of her soul. It's so much better that way. And so I'm going to start with a scripture that's been my favorite that Ralph has talked about in the last three Wednesday nights. And he read this scripture, quoted this scripture on the first Wednesday night, and it's Philippians verse 6. Philippians verse 6. The reason I say verse 6 is because it's only one chapter. And Philippians verse 6 says this. This. It says, your faith is made effectual. Effectual by the acknowledging of every good work in you. Faith is critical, right? I mean, we talk about faith a lot. We know it's the foundation of our Christianity. By faith are you saved. By grace are you saved. Through faith, not of yourselves. The just shall walk by faith. But there's some scriptures that really help us to understand faith. It says, faith worketh by love. You see, when a woman came to Jesus who was not an Israelite and says, you know, my daughter is sick. Would you come and heal my daughter? And it was her love for her daughter that got her healed. It wasn't her faith. It was a love. It was a woman who came at the table that Jesus was at and said, you know, Syrophoenician woman, would you do this for me? And he said, it's not meat that I give bread to other than the children of God. Sounds like to me Jesus was on a journey of a greater progressive revelation of who God is. I won't say that again because Jesus is on a journey of progressive revelation of who God is. He said, it's not meat that I give the children's bread to dogs. And then she looked at Christ and she pulled out the God in him and she said to him, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even the crumbs are enough in God's eyes and in God's ways to touch every human being on the face of the earth. You say, I don't have but a little bit. That's all you need to have. If you got faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak into this mountain and be removed. Little faith is great faith and perfect faith because little faith works just as great as perfect faith does. Yes, sir. Don't ever despise the beginnings of small things. And so, Paul says that if I acknowledge every good thing in me, my faith will be made effectual. But if I acknowledge the bad things and the wrong things in me, my faith's not going to be effectual. Let's say it another way. If I think positive about myself, my faith will be effectual. If I think negative about myself, my faith won't be effectual. Because faith is substance of things hoped for, expectation of something good. Faith is expecting, coming from hope, because hope is expecting the best. Okay? All right, y'all with me? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying a lot of things. Boy, he's really causing some upheaval in people. And he's saying things like, it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you already have. You have been told, thou shalt not kill. But I got something better than that. Don't even be angry. Because if you'll just deal with the issue, you won't kill anyway. If you deal with the heart, you deal with how you're feeling about it, that act won't come about. So don't even be angry. And he goes on and on, and he says, it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, if they slap you on the cheek, turn your cheek. And so I want to take what has been said and maybe make it to where it ought to be said. And then he gets into chapter 7, he says, don't judge anybody. Judge not that you be not judged, because with every measure of judgment you measure out, it shall be measured back to you again. And then in that context, he says these words. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and his gate is wide, and many choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Now, he is not saying that this is the most difficult life. He's just saying it's the most difficult to find. Because there's a broad way that so many go in, and their choices that they make every single day are choices that's determining where they're headed and what's going on in their life. But there is a narrow gate, and this way is not a whole lot who find it, but those who do find it see that it's one way. And once you get through that gate, though, you come into life. Now, this broad gate looks like it's the way to go, but when you go through the broad gate and you get out on the other side, it crushes you. It gets narrow. It's broad way to enter, but it's narrow when you get to it. You see, I felt a lot of Christians think that God's way is that what I can't do, and it confines me. When actually God's way says, wow, this is all for you. Sets you free. And yet the broad way makes you think it's the best way, but when you go through the broad way and you get to where you're headed, you find it so constricted and so confined that it will crush you. It crushes the life out of you. Guilt and condemnation will crush you. Sin will crush you. Doing what's wrong will crush you. But everything that God says, I want you to choose this way, because everything in our life is about a choice that we make. It's about a choice. Everything I do, every moment of my life is determined by the choices I make. From what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to say, where I'm going to go. Moses, at the end of his life, I believe had really come to an understanding of who God is. And Moses, Dusty sang the song this morning, show me your glory. And Moses, at the end of his life, and he's having this conversation with God. And he says to God, God, show me your glory. Glory is one of the most difficult words to define and to express. It's a word for weight and heavy. It's a word for presence. It's a word for who God is. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, what really transpired and what really took place was that they weren't naked, as we would call naked. They lost their glory. Everything that was created clothed itself from within. Every animal clothed itself from within. The birds grew their feathers from within. The bears grew their fur from within. Every animal, everything came from within them that covered them. And so they weren't naked like we would think they were naked. There was a glory of God on them. And when they disobeyed God, when they made the choice not to just eat from the tree of life, but when they made the choice to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Judgment. Condemnation. When they chose to eat of that tree, something happened and they looked at one another and said, we're naked, and they were ashamed. Were they ashamed because they were naked? There was a shame because they lost their glory. There was a shame because who they were created to be got lost momentarily. Jesus, God comes on the scene, says, Adam, where are you? He said, we were naked and we were ashamed. Who told you that? Who told you that? And so then this progressive revelation of who God is begins to happen. And Moses is going through this. And Moses begins it with Moses killed a guy. Yeah, he was a murderer. And Moses is on the backside of the desert. You know the story. You've seen the Ten Commandments. And he's on the backside of the desert for 40 years, and he's tending sheep. And he keeps looking at this mountain, and there's this bush burning. And the unique thing, it wasn't nothing unique about a bush burning in the desert. They would just blaze up in fire because of the heat, and they were so dry, they would just blaze up. But when they blazed up, they burned out. But this bush, something unique about it, because it kept burning, 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 burning. And Moses said this, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight and see why is this bush not consumed. He didn't say, why is this bush burning? Why is it not burning out? How many would rather burn than burn out? Rather burn with the passion of God than burn out. And so he approaches this bush, and as he approaches this bush, all this is, by the way, God just gave this all to me just a while ago. This is not in my notes. But he approaches this bush, and as he approached this bush, God says to him, take off your shoes, for the place whereon you're standing is holy ground. Moses, you've walked your way all this time. Now take your sandals off and walk my way. You can choose to walk your way, or you can choose to walk my way. And that's all this thing is about, church. Am I going to choose to walk God's way or choose to walk my way? And if I choose to walk God's way, it's going to be a total different course. Moses is going through a lot of things with his children of Israel. He's mad at them one day. He wants to kill them all one day. And next day, he wants to save them all. It's kind of sounding like some preachers I know. Want to kill them all one day. Want to save them all the next day. We're going to preach on mercy one week. Going to preach on hell the next week. It just gets confusing sometimes. What's what? So I'm not here to talk about that. But so Moses, it's in this continual revelation of who God is. And so he gets to the end of his life, and literally, he's at the end of his life. He's 120 years old. Not a bad life, huh? Eyesight was the same. Strength was the same. I'm going to stop saying I'm getting weaker. I'm getting stronger. And so Moses at 120, I just kind of believe he kind of did like this. All right. Who are you? Who are you? Show me your glory. And Moses says, God says, okay, Moses, come here. I want you to put you in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to put you in Christ. The rock's Christ. I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. Now I'm going to pass by you, and as I pass by you, you can't look at my face, because no man's ever looked at my face and lived, because my face right now is pretty upset with humanity because the perfect sacrifice has not been made. And so I'm going to let you see my back. First time I ever read that as a young man, I had this picture of Christ's back on the cross. By his stripes we're healed. For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we're healed. He said, I'm going to show you my back. And then he tells Moses, says, this is my glory. I'll visit the sins of the fathers up into the third and the fourth generations. And we quote that a lot. People hear that a lot. But then they don't go into the very next verse and says, but I'll show my mercy unto thousands of generations. And Moses, God passed by. And as he did, he said these words. He showed Moses the loving kindness and mercy of God. He said, that's my glory. And so, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 11, Moses is giving his last words to Israel. And he says, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand, and it's not too far beyond your reach. Wow. Now, doesn't it sound like a little different Moses? It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who shall go up to heaven and bring it down, or so we can hear it and obey? It's not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you'll live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away, you refuse to listen, if you're drawn away to serve, worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a good, long life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I've given you, again, the choice between life and death, blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God and obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Wasn't too bad, was it? I mean, all God said, you just think my way. Choose life, don't choose death. Choose what's good, not what's bad. And if you do that, you'll be happy. Other day, I saw a post on Facebook, and it was just annihilating this pastor, a guy named Perry Noble. He pastors a real large church, and he was just being crucified. And every time I see that, I like to come to the defending of the people, protector of humanity. Because I know the guy, and I know he's a great guy. And why are you tearing him down? At a conference one time up in Chicago, and Bill Hybels crucified by so many people. And one guy was in the foyer and having to hear these people talking about Bill Hybels and just cutting him down. And they looked at him and said, dude, he's got more people in his bathroom than you got in your church. What are you doing? Well, what Perry Noble did, he took the Ten Commandments and he gave it a contemporary twist and let you see, what does God really say? What does he really say? I mean, we do that all the time. I get up here and read a scripture and then tell you what the scripture said, right? I mean, that's what we do. That's what we're called to do. We're called to teach and preach the Word of God. We're called to tell you what God's already said. That's all we do every Sunday, to try to tell you. And most time we tell you what he said. Now, over the years, we have told you some things he didn't say. I didn't mean it, but I changed it. Everything I've ever said, 100% for these 38 years of ministry, I promise you all of it wasn't right. I know that surprises you. But everything I said 25 years ago wasn't right. And God changed me, and to say it and to see it in a different light. And some of you ought to be shouting right now that he showed me that, because you'd be living in such condemnation and guilt that you couldn't even sit here. So, he took the Ten Commandments and he said this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I mean, that's how it's usually read, isn't it? Well, maybe he said, you don't have to live in constant disappointment anymore. You don't have to live in constant disappointment anymore. Why? Because there are some other gods. I love this scripture. He says they got gods. They really do. They got them. He says, and they have eyes, they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They got mouths, but they can't speak. God doesn't have any of that, and he sees and hears and speaks. Oh, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. He doesn't have any of those features, and yet he sees and he hears and he speaks. Because he's a God of light, and he's a God of love, and he's a God of peace. That's good, boy. I'm loving this. All right. You shall not make unto you any graven image. Whoa. What does that mean? I don't know. What does it mean? Number two, you can be free from rituals and religion and trust in a relationship. Wow. You see, when God just took the golden calf down, he wasn't upset about the golden calf because they said that was God. They said he's strong. He's brought us out of Egypt. We don't know what Moses is doing. Been up there 40 days and 40 nights. So let's make us this God. And so they came to Aaron and they brought all the silver and all the stuff and he threw it in the fire and out came this God. Well, he molded it because, and Aaron was going, you know, God must be strong, so let's make him a strong God. And Moses come down and God says, go down there. They are trying to put me in a box. Oh. They're trying to put me in a box. They're trying to say that that's all I am is strength. I'm more than that. I'm way more than that. And so he says, I don't want them thinking that that's who I am. Or better said, I don't want them thinking that's all I am. I'm way more than that. I'm way more than that. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You can trust in a name that's above every name. You can trust in a name that's above every name. You see, God's not giving these things to put you in bondage. He's saying these things to get you hope. Number four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You can have rest. You can have rest. The Sabbath is all about rest. On the Sabbath day, God rested. And it's right. And every day now, he says, Paul's, in Hebrews, he said, he wants you to enter into a rest. Wow. Kidding, you'd be coming. I want you to enter into a rest. Honor your father and mother. Your family don't have to fall apart. I mean... Let's just put it in simple terms. Why? So you don't have to be dysfunctional. Your family don't have to fall apart. Just not, and let me honor everybody. Honor everybody. Number six, you shall not murder. You don't have to live in a constant state of anger because you'll be motivated by love and not hate. I don't have to live in anger. Wow. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. You do not have to live a life dominated by the guilt and the pain and the shame associated with sexual sin. Why? Oh, you want to keep fun from me? No, I want to keep guilt and pain and shame from you. I want to keep some pleasure from you? No, I want to keep some pain and shame from you. Shall not steal. You want me to have? I'll provide for you. I'm your provider. You don't have to steal. I'll provide for you. You got to understand, these people stole all the time. If they walked by your tent and they saw something in your tent they wanted, they took it. They just took it. You don't have to do that. You should not give false testimony against your neighbor becomes you don't have to pretend. You shall not covet. I'll be enough. And I think it's pretty good, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You like that? Well, here's some other people's comments. Friends, this is the distortion of what Scripture says. Well, I grant that each of the statements is true. Both the commandments and what Perry turns them into, they're not the same thing. There's a difference. One's a law of God and the other's truths. We know from what God's Word teaches. Jesus told the young ruler, I don't even want to read the rest of it. I sinned. God forgive me. I had to stop reading that because I was sinning. I was sinning. I was judging. And I had to be careful. So, that shouldn't even been on here. I threw the rest of it away to start with, and that just got tagged on. And so, sorry about that. Forget about that last part. Just remember what I said before. You're here today. Maybe you think God's one way. And maybe you... I would love to serve God, but it just seems hard. I'd really like to serve God, but I don't know. Why don't you just rip up that mentality? Why don't you just put that aside and take on a brand new view and look of who this God is? And it's for you. It's for you. And you're here this morning... Why don't you bow your head for a moment? You're here this morning and you want to make a choice of life. That from this moment on, I'm going to choose life and I'm going to see God in the light that He really is. Would you just lift up your hand and say, I want to choose life? God bless you. I see both those, third, all these hands. Amen. You can put them down. About 12 people said, I want to choose life today. And I want us all to make a reconfession of our faith. I want to choose life today. I want to choose. You see, the difficult thing is not hard like this, that it takes a moment of thoughtfulness. I got to think about it. You see, I had a quick moment of thought to judge or not. And see, my purpose today is not to judge the criticism of what was said, but to tell the truth of what was said and the goodness of what was said. And that's really where you should stay on, is that side of truth and love and light. And so God, let me sin before you to see how quickly you can change. Let me go from 7 to 6 so quickly to show how quickly you can change if you just think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. Think about where you're headed. Think about it. I want to be Alexis. Defender of the people, protector of humanity. Because that's what God's put us here to do. To have each other's back, to love each other, support each other, be there for each other. And you see, when you see the God of the Bible, we see the true God. We see the one and only true God, who from the beginning gave you two things, two choices. That's it. Choose to eat of the tree of life, or choose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Choose life, and you shall live. Choose life, and you shall live. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Let's stand together as we just worship God and just kind of let this settle in you today and go deep into the recesses of your soul and just let it settle, okay? Just don't leave right now. Just give this song a moment to settle in you what has been said. Let this settle in you.
Still.
penning within your spirit, a penning within your soul, and you don't need to lack for anything. You don't need to beg God for that healing, because it's there, and we walk in it, and we enter in it, and we rejoice, and we say, God, your name is great. Your name is above every name, because we can trust in it. We can trust in it. We can walk on it, and we can know, God, that you are doing a new thing in our life today. You're going to do a new thing in our life tomorrow, because his word is true. His word is faithful. His word is everlasting, and you can count on it. You can count on it. You can walk on it, and you can know it. You can leave this building and know that my God is for me. Who can be against me? He is for you, and he wants you well. He wants you whole. He wants your families well. He wants your families whole. He wants your marriages strong. He wants your relationship with your children to be one of love, to be one of nurturing, to be one of goodness. He wants your relationships with each other to be one of light and love. And that when you're around people, that they build you up and they encourage you and they lift you up. That's the God we serve. That's what he has for you. That's what he has for this body. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Whatever you want to do. I don't even know who to turn it over to now. God is good. God is good. This stuff is just not some, you know, when we talk about being positive, it's just simply this. It is awareness of the power that's within you. It's what it is. Being positive in a hard moment and a good moment is simple awareness of what's already within you. It's constantly keeping my eyes on the one who says it is well. It's constant awareness of the one who says it is well. Amen. Is that it, Dad? Be blessed. And you walk out of these doors knowing that God wants good for your life. Amen. All right.